Hello and welcome to GACC South Unplugged, a transatlantic conversation with CEO Matthias Hoffman, brought to you by Cuba. I am your moderator, Mike Salmon, and I'm happy to welcome our host, Matthias. Hello, Matthias.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. And how are you on this rainy, rainy day?
Great, great. I didn't sign up for that weather when I came to the southern United States, but hey, still fantastic.
Welcome to Atlanta. And why don't you welcome our guest today?
Yes, welcome Melanie Moltmann, German Consul General here in Atlanta. Hello, Melanie.
Hello. Nice to be here with you.
Melanie, we are on the first name basis since we know each other for such a long time. So it's our consul general, but since we know each other, I think that's fine if I call you Melanie.
Of course.
So Melanie, let's get started. First of all, a couple of warm-up and icebreaker questions. I think that's always good. So first one, a very easy one. So what's your favorite street name here in Atlanta? Is it the Peachtree Boulevard? Is it the Peachtree Circle? Or is it maybe the Peachtree, I don't know, Peachtree Plaza Avenue?
It's, of course, Peachtree Battle.
All right. How come?
It's just a beautiful street. And, of course, I'm tempted to say Peachtree Circle because this is where I live. I could also say Peachtree Center Avenue because this is where I work. But there are so many peach trees that I thought, well, Peachtree Battle is the most interesting because when I read this street name for the first time, I actually took a walk to look the houses there.
Can I ask you, Melanie, as a consul general, and you're with the Consulate General of the Federal Republic of Germany here in Atlanta, what is your job? What are you supposed to be doing?
I'm a foreign diplomat, so I'm a career diplomat working for the German Foreign Service. In the United States, of course, we have an embassy. It's the embassy in Washington, D.C. But as the U.S. are such an important partner for us and such a big country, we also have 8 consulates general. So we're like a mini embassy, but our focus is a bit different. So we are here to work with our German citizens who live here, but also try to support German businesses, foster German as a foreign language, stuff like this.
What about your region here? So GACC South is responsible, let's say, for 11 states. You have a couple less states, right? So you're going from Carolinas?
Yeah, we're smaller. So we have the Carolinas, but also Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, and of course, Georgia.
As a diplomat, asking her as a diplomat here, you know, what is the best answer to the question, which is your favorite state here in the U.S.?
Yeah, of course, the best answer for a diplomat and also for a lawyer, I'm a lawyer by profession, is that depends. But I can say that I grew up at the coast, so at the seaside. So I like all the states that have a seaside, that have water. But if you don't have the Atlantic Ocean right next to you, a lake is fine for me too.
So any hidden gems here in the South that you would, if you would write a travel blog, what would you tell people in Germany?
Well, of course, I knew cities like Charleston and Savannah, but what I didn't know before I came here were the Golden Isles. So last year, it was the heat of summer. In July, I traveled to Jekyll Island, and I really loved it.
Have you been there, Mike?
I have never been. I've never been to Jekyll Island, but
you
I know it's a beautiful area.
It's beautiful. So it's just the trees, the shores there. It's just marvelous.
Okay.
I will go again.
You know what I was thinking? So when you're driving up there, let's say to Jekyll Island, and you're with a car, and you know, we all know, we heard about immunity, diplomatic immunity. If you're speeding, let's say, or if you get a parking citation, does that fall under diplomatic immunity, or do you have to pay?
I have to pay. And actually, I'm a diplomat, but here I work not at the embassy, but at a consulate. So I have no immunity. I have only immunity when it comes to criminal persecution for things I do in my professional capacity. But anyway, our foreign office tells us we have to pay all tickets, speeding, parking, everything.
You have to live by the rules of the country that you're living in.
We have to live by the rules in the country that we are living in, and also by our own quite strict disciplinary rules.
You mentioned how you support German citizens that are over here and German businesses. How do you support citizens? Why would they reach out to the consulate?
Well, for example, if they need a passport to travel, if they need a birth certificate, if they need an inheritance document. So we do basically all the things people would go to a notary public or to a local authority. And of course, if somebody would like to work in Germany or visit, we would also issue a visa.
I'm going to put you on the spot now, if that's okay. How many Germans are there in the United States, and maybe how many are there here in the Atlanta area?
This is difficult to say because they don't register with us, and they also don't vote in our consulates or in the embassy. So we have a very, very rough estimate for the Southeast, so for our region here, and it's about 60,000 to 70,000. That's a really rough estimate.
And of course, Matthias, you have a good idea on the number of businesses that are in the U.S. and, of course, in the Southeast, which is your area.
Yes, same difficulties for us. You know, in Germany, we have that trade register where you can easily count the numbers of companies. Here, we have a couple of difficulties too, but we're trying to draw a lot of data together. So the most official number is 5,800 companies, German companies, in the U.S., and also very important, in my opinion, those companies create around 900,000 American jobs here.
Wow. How are you then, as the Consulate General, serving the German businesses? What do they come to you for?
Oh, that's a bit difficult here because we have Matthias in the chamber right here. And usually the first point of contact if a company is interested in coming here is the Chamber of Commerce. But sometimes they also approach us if they might have difficulties with local authorities. But what we do more is we are a contact point also for American businesses who would like to export to Europe, who would like to invest in Germany. So we sometimes get questions. This is what we do mostly here. I've worked at other countries, and there it was really common for me to work with German businesses, and I had them in my office twice or three times a week. But this doesn't really happen here because it's easy for them to do business here, and we have the chamber.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a really good question, Mike, because we have what I would call a very sophisticated system of German foreign trade promotion. So kind of like the major players are the embassy, the consulates, the German Trade and Invest. It's kind of like, look at it like a German economic development organization here with representatives and us as a chamber. So it's pretty fine-tuned who's doing what. And yeah, I'm really proud of how we go about foreign trade here.
You mentioned 11 consulates around the country.
No, we have eight. Eight consulates general.
Out of curiosity, this is just the Atlanta person asking right now, how many consulates do we have in Atlanta for all the countries? I mean, Germany is just obviously one. Any idea how many we have here?
A bit more than 40, I would say.
Wow. It's a lot of countries.
Yeah.
How did you end up being a consulate general? Tell me about your story.
Now I have to think back. Well, I started in the German Foreign Service in 2005. As I already told you, I'm a lawyer by profession. And I thought, well, I like the law, but I didn't want to work with legal questions for all the time. And what we do in Germany, when you try to become a lawyer, you have to study in university, obviously, but also everybody has to work at different companies or at ministries or in a law firm or in the prosecutor's office to qualify for the bar examination. So we have these 2.5 years of stages, basically, where you have to go and work somewhere at different places. And also I ended up in working at our embassy in Bangkok in Thailand for 4 months. And yeah, it was just very, very interesting. And after I got back, passed my exam, I thought, well, maybe, why not just try? And yeah, I got the job, and then we had 1 year of training in our diplomatic academy. So 1 year of language classes, protocol, economics, legal questions. So we had 1 year of intensive training. Yeah, and then we were posted to one country, or some people just started in our headquarters in Berlin. And I ended up in Armenia, in Yerevan. I was deputy chief of mission there, which was really interesting, and it was an easy starting job, a very European-friendly country, very small, but very interesting. And yeah, I had different postings, and 2.5 years ago, my ministry asked me whether I would like to go to Atlanta to become the consul general here, and I said, yes, well, of course, why not? I didn't know much about Atlanta before, so I thought, well, Atlanta, it's the Olympics, it's Martin Luther King, and then I already started thinking,
Braves.
Well, the Braves I didn't know at that point of time, but I saw them play. No.
But now we have Atlanta United, so I know football is huge in Germany.
Yeah.
What kind of law did you specialize in, by the way?
It's international law and international business law.
Okay.
Matthias, when she was talking about the other locations where she worked, she kept saying it was interesting. Trying to read her face to see if that was like good or bad. I wasn't able to tell which way it was.
Well, we know each other well, so I think that it's the German interesting, which is really interesting. You know what I mean? So
it's a way to be nice.
No, it's not a way to be nice. It was really interesting because it was different. So, and when you are in a small country, you as a diplomat can really do something. So usually have a lot of freedom in deciding what you would like to do. We did development projects. We worked with universities and schools. So it's really you can do something good, something meaningful.
Okay.
So it's really not only interesting, it's rewarding. Yes. So this is a better word.
So it's a good interesting is what it was.
Yes.
Yeah. When you look at, I mean, looking at jobs and favorite jobs of kids and stuff, you know, I guess that lawyer, doctor, head of any German Chamber of Commerce abroad, podcaster come first, but I guess career diplomat is not much further down, right? So what in your job now recently, what do you like most about it, or what keeps you going and excites you?
No 2 days are the same. I go out, meet companies, meet with people, have lectures at universities. I also do have to write reports back to my ministry, but every day is different and I have a lot of flexibility. So we have some things I have to do also, but I can really have my own focuses, what I would like to do most. So, for example, I very much love to speak to young people, so love to work together with universities, try to connect them with German institutions. So this is what I think is really important, and I love doing that.
What do you think, like, for younger people that are looking into a similar career, what kind of qualities, skills, leadership qualities do you think are the most crucial to do the job well?
They have to be curious, so they really have to want to learn something new. They have to be open-minded and tolerant, because you work together with so many people. And I mean, you keep changing jobs. So you always have to work with new colleagues. You have to work something new. You work with different cultures. You have to be patient because of this. Yeah, resilient. Because sometimes working conditions are not that easy. And you have to know that, well, maybe this work is not easy, or it's not really something pleasant, but you still have to do this. So, for example, what we do as diplomats is you have to lobby with other governments if you would like to have their vote in the United Nations, for example. And sometimes these topics are not really the most pleasant ones, or sometimes if a country thinks you have done something wrong as another country, you have to go to the foreign ministry and they tell you what you have done or what you shouldn't have done. And this might not be so pleasant. So I've worked, for example, in Uzbekistan as well. And there it was sometimes not too easy to communicate with the government representatives there. And we were also very much controlled, so not allowed to go anywhere. But still, this is part of the job, and this is also part of the fun, because you always find your way through difficult tasks.
Your career is basically, you're going abroad, you're doing your post there for a couple of years, then you usually go back to Berlin, have a position there, and then you go abroad again. So what right now, what do you miss the most about Germany, apart from family and friends, of course?
What I miss most probably is, when I think of Berlin, where we usually live when we are in Germany, is public transport, and then it's so easy to just walk around, find a cafe, walk around with friends, go to the next restaurants. I love the cafes and restaurants here in Atlanta, but usually I have to drive there. And so just walk around, not for miles, but just for a couple of hundred yards or meters, or taking then the metro to the next one, this is what I miss.
Hmm. Yeah, Atlanta's not a walking around city. Now, go out in the suburbs and some of the towns, right. They have the beautiful town squares.
Yeah.
But Atlanta, it's hard to get from one part of the city to another part of the city because the mass transportation system is not well developed here.
Yeah, and I'm privileged. I really live in Midtown, so in the middle of everything. So I do walk around here and I do use public transport. But just sometimes I think, oh, just meeting with friends, walking around, this is something I always enjoy when I'm in Berlin in summer, and I don't miss it really here. But when I'm there, I think, oh, well, that's great that you are able to do this. Just walk around on the summer evening.
Right. What do you think about the region here? I mean, coming to your office here in the Gas South Convention Center, it's pretty nice outside here. I like the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, right here on Sugarloaf Parkway, where the Gas South District campus is, it's going to be a live, work, and play one right. day. They have plans to add more retail, more restaurants. The Weston mm-hmm. Hotel opens in a few weeks,
yep.
and there's a Starbucks there and a couple restaurants. But there's going to be some places to live, work, and play on mm-hmm. this campus. And you see this sprouting up everywhere, all over Atlanta and all over the suburbs.
Yeah, I'm asking that because we were, again, looking into where we do our SME Business Development Conference this year. And we were thinking, like, okay, you know, downtown Atlanta, traffic, you know, walkability, you know, then parking situation, etc. And we decided that we come here actually to the Gas South Convention Center on April 17th, one of our strongest business conferences. And one part was also kind of like the ecosystem with the hotels, the restaurants, etc. around
plenty
here.
Of parking.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So I think that's really good. And of course, one big plus here is that you're directly at I-85, so everybody from Charlotte, from Greenville can come in easy.
Great point. And think about that. What is your relationship with the German-American Chamber of Commerce, and how does that work?
Already mentioned it a bit. So we work together in promoting trade to Germany and working together to support our companies that are here. And of course, what I always say is, like, we advertise Germany. So officially it's called public diplomacy, but we both tell companies here and the public what's good about Germany, about German business, and about the German economy. But also why German businesses or visitors or delegations from Germany should come here to the Southeast.
It's got to be a great benefit for you to be in a city working where you have a German-American Chamber of Commerce, because that's not in every single city in the country.
Of course, it makes my life easier, yeah. and I've worked at postings before where just nobody was there. So I had a lot of more work to do.
Matthias has done all the heavy lifting for you.
Of course.
Great team. Today is Employee Appreciation Day, so a big shout out to my team that is helping me do that. But on the other hand, also great to have, you know, a consulate here. But of course, as we have our headquarters here in Atlanta, like Melanie has, we're also working with our chapters across the regions, have a small office in Houston, boots on the ground in the Carolinas, etc. So maybe that's an interesting question. Since you have six states and you cannot be everywhere, right? So you have honorary consuls as well. Huh? So how does that system work?
Well, yeah, we have honorary consuls, so it's called honorary because they are not getting paid. They work for us. They represent Germany here in the Southeast, and we have seven of them. So two in South Carolina, two in North Carolina, then Tennessee, Alabama, and Mississippi. And basically, yeah, they are our bridges in the regions where we can't be every day. So they either Americans or Germans, but usually they are both. So they're representing Germany and they're representing the US. Mm. And it works well. So they do a lot of this consular work for our citizens. So if you need a certificate of some kind, and one of them also takes passport applications. But I think the most important thing is that they also go to company openings, go to universities, and tell a bit about Germany.
What do you think in general? How do you help aim strengthen the relationships between Germany and the Southern United States? And I'm asking, you know, we just came back. Actually, yesterday we were driving forth and back to Alabama. We have our official affiliate, a great organization, the Alabama-Germany Partnership, went there. They had a big dinner with 300 guests, almost the whole German economy that is located in Alabama, put together in one place. Fantastic dinner.
Where in Alabama did you go?
Birmingham.
Great city.
Yeah. That's one part where you help out, right? I mean, that's where you get active as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's just representing Germany and really tell also the state governments that we are here, that we are approachable, that we would like to assist, that we are interested in what's going on in the states down here. And of course, we are also curious. We would like to know what's happening here with German businesses, but also with the American economy, what's going on when it comes to politics, so where we could work together. We try to get people into contact with, for example, research institutions in Germany. It's a lot of representing, but it's a lot of people-to-people contacts. We would like to foster that also when it comes to contacts between universities, between cities and towns. There's a lot that is going on, and we would like to strengthen that, bringing people more together, making them curious to get into contact with each other, to really have closer relations, not only between governments, but between our countries as a whole.
You mentioned politics. Let's look into German policies a little bit. We have two policies that are high on the agenda of your Federal Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Germany. The one is climate policy, and the other one is what we call feminist foreign policy. Can you chime in a little bit on those two topics?
Yeah, we got a new government in December 2021, and for the first time we have a three-party coalition government on the federal level, and the Minister of Foreign Affairs is from the Green Party. So, of course, everything that has something to do with climate and climate change is especially high on her agenda. But we also realized for basically our government as a whole, climate policy is also policy that is important for national security and for our economy. Because with climate change, we have risks that we have to, well, take care of. We have to transform our economy and regulations in Germany, so to adapt to climate change and, of course, to combat climate change as much as we can. I think we are really on the forefront together with some other European countries when it comes to trying to convince other countries in the world that we really have to do more to protect the environment and do something against climate change, but also to collect money and help poorer states to adapt to the changes that will definitely come. So this is really important. And feminist foreign policy is a bit more difficult to grasp, but what it means basically is that we would try to support women, that they get the same rights, the same representation, and the same resources as men when it comes to local things, like local businesses, but also when it comes to negotiations. For example, peace negotiations, they are much more successful and resilient and sustainable when women are involved. And also wealth is growing more if a state or if a country does more for justice between the different sexes. So this is really something that we also see not as a niche policy, but as part of national security policy.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I mean, we as a chamber, we're looking into both sectors, also both policies a little bit on a very, very hands-on level, let's say. You know, like yesterday we had, again, a nice in-person gathering of women in leadership in Charleston. That was fantastic, what I heard was discussed there. And also in terms of, you know, like renewable energy, sustainability, ESG, etc., we're trying to get people more sensitive to the topic, you know, here in the US. I mean, I like that, for instance, you know, you're not talking so much about the Bible Belt here anymore, but the battery belt, you know, looking into EV production, etc. So I think it's going there. But okay, when we talk to our member companies, you know, the baseline is that yes, their ESG and sustainability goals, you know, they are advancing every year, let's say. They're trying to get more into it, but still there's a lot to be done there.
Yeah, but it's also, I mean, the reason is not only politics or ideology. The reason is that if you don't do something against climate change, it will be more expensive for all of us. Mm-hmm. So really, I think it's an economic question. It's an economically sound decision to try to do something against it or to do more against it.
Good. What about, let's say, common misconceptions about Germany that you encounter often here in the US?
Good question.
This is a question I like, because I'm from northern Germany, and a lot of people think Bavaria is Germany. No, it's not. So we have different regions, we have different types of food that we love, different types of clothes that we wear, traditional clothing. So Germany is not Bavaria.
We talked in an earlier episode, we talked about Helen, Georgia, you know? So.
And Helen is not Germany.
No, Helen is not Germany.
Talk about stereotypes. Everyone thinks that every German drinks. Now, Germany, per consumption, does drink more beer than just about anybody per, break it down to the population, but not every single German drinks beer 24 hours a day.
Not really. I mean...
Not really.
Not really to let people think that we drink alcohol every day, but we also have great wine in Germany. A lot of people don't know this or still think, well, German wine is bad. It's not. And so we have a great variety. And of course, we're also coffee lovers like the Americans.
But still, we have a couple of good breweries even here in Atlanta and around Atlanta. And I'm not naming any company, but I can name the village or a city that they're located in, which is Tucker, which I personally like. So, and we're doing a couple of, you know, nice mixing and mingling events there. Like last week, we just had like a trivia night, you know, kind of nice networking, bonding of member companies in combination with, you know, German-American trivia. So you kind of learn something as well. So that was fun. And that makes a lot of sense to do that in a brewery.
Yeah, there are a lot of nice breweries here. So
let me ask you again about the regional spread. You know, we're doing right now a virtual tour across the southern United States where we kind of, you know, we see a lot of investment incoming into the South, and still we see that German companies, they cannot just travel to 11 states and say like, okay, hey, I want to go to South Carolina or Texas or North Carolina or Georgia, etc. So we kind of offer now a virtual tour where we get them familiarized with the states through the, you know, state economic development organizations, plus kind of testimonials of German companies that invested there recently or are established already, smaller companies, big companies. And that's pretty interesting. And we saw that it got picked up a lot. You know, we started with South Carolina. Next one is Tennessee, then North Carolina. So do you think that those, I mean, nobody wants to go on a webinar anymore, right? I mean, everybody's bored of webinars. But I think there it makes a lot of sense. How do you see that? You were welcoming our guests as well in the webinar.
I think it's really important because people in Germany who might be interested in a certain region or in a certain state, they just can't travel like this. So they have to get a first glimpse. They have to get some more information before they decide, oh, this area, this region might be the right one for me. Or they have to find out where to get information. And I think people in Germany don't know enough about the Southeast or about the South here. So it's probably the same as it was with me. So everybody knows about New York or California, but then you come, oh, what's going on in Alabama? What's going on in South Carolina? People don't know enough. And I think it's a good job that you try really to highlight what possibilities businesses have here. And this is also an important part of my job because I try to bring what's going on here in the southeastern states, what's going on here when it comes to policies, but also when it comes to society, to our ministries in Germany. So we would like to highlight that's a region that's interesting, that's a region where that is really worthwhile visiting.
And I think you're doing a great job. Honestly, I think when I came here, you know, just during the pandemic, it was pretty much still those flyover states, you know, in the U.S., and I believe, like, now if we look into the press, if we look into political representation, a lot of politicians are coming here, not only in Melanie's area, but there's two consul generals, the one sitting in Miami and the other one sitting in Texas, in Houston. So I think all three of you are doing a tremendous job in getting it more, you know, up on the map for Germans.
You mentioned Melanie. Everybody knows New York. Everybody knows California. But I think what you're finding is it's so much less expensive to have your business in the Southeast and to do business here.
Right. This is an important point. And what's also very important is this approach the states here have to welcoming businesses. Of course, I can only speak for the six states here. But what I've encountered is really a group effort on every stage. So when company decides to go to Georgia, for example, or to South Carolina, the different counties, they don't hassle and haggle, so they all work together. The chambers work together, the communities, the states, and this is something very special. So it's a very welcoming atmosphere here, and of course it doesn't hurt that life is cheaper here, and the usually good weather doesn't hurt either to attract businesses and people, I must say.
Yeah, we think the people are nicer. We like to think there's southern hospitality. It doesn't hurt businesses, too, that you have one of the largest and busiest ports in the country, the Port of Savannah, and that you have the Atlanta-Hartsfield International Airport, where you pretty much can fly anywhere in the world nonstop.
Right. Logistics do play an important role. And also the railroads play an important role, too. I must say I miss having this railroad connections, good connections for passenger transport, but railroad connections for transport of goods.
Yeah.
This is quite good, quite established, and the companies have good access here. So this plays an important role. And the universities and technical colleges, of course, too, if we are just naming some institutions that are important because workforce plays such an important role. And yeah, there's a lot going on and trying to really educate young people, not only at universities.
Looking at the US this year, 2024, election year. Okay, you cannot probably chime in too much on that, but still, what's your stance on that? What can you say?
For me, a very interesting situation, and
there's that word again, interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. No, but it's really interesting. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating experience. So I was in South Carolina before the primaries there, went to some events, listened to Nikki Haley and also to Vivek Ramaswamy, who had an event for Donald Trump. And just to see people, just to listen to what they were saying, just to feel the atmosphere there. And this was an experience for me. And we really try to see what's going on, try to grasp the atmosphere and what really is important for the people who vote. And also, of course, our ministry is very interested in that. So this year we will do report a lot back to our headquarters, so what's going on. And of course, we don't have the crystal ball and see which president we are going to have or even which candidates we are going to have. But for us, just the process is important, how elections are conducted, because it's so different from what we experience in Europe. And on the other hand, whoever is elected, we have to work with him or her. And I think we will work very closely with the new government anyway, because in the end, we have a very multi-layered relationship with the United States, and it's really a relationship with the country and not just with the government.
Not one person.
Not one person. So we have so much to do really on these different levels. And I remember when I came here, when the war in Ukraine started, so Germany was criticized a lot in the press, but we had really close relationships on the working level between our governments when we were working on sanctions, when we were trying really to think about what was going to happen. So there's a very close relationship going on that is not reported upon in the press. And I think this will continue anyway.
I mean, I can tell you a little bit from the business side. So a lot of companies have invested, German companies have invested here decades ago, right? So they've seen come and go different administrations. They're pretty relaxed. A lot of them are pretty relaxed about it. You know, as long as they can conduct their business, etc., then it's not critical. Of course, scenario planning is there. You know, what happens if there's tariffs again or not, etc. So yeah, they're doing their thinking. But in general, we have to say that German companies are looking really, really in a positive way into 2024. And we just conducted our German-American business outlook, and I think that makes a lot of sense to sum it up here to our listeners. So we're conducting that. It's a survey amongst German subsidiaries in the whole U.S. We do that as a consortium of five chambers. 220 companies responded, and what we see is like 99.5% of all survey takers do not see, first of all, a recession coming up. You know, that's very good, very positive outlook already. 96% of those survey takers plan to invest in the company in the U.S. here in the coming 3 years. 40% more than $5 million U.S. dollars and 30% more than $10 million U.S. dollars. And then always comes the question like, why do they invest? You know, and in Germany you hear, oh, it's the Inflation Reduction Act and the CHIPS Act and all those government incentives, you know. But when we ask our companies here, you know what the answer is? It's always the same. Every year it's the same. It's market size, customer demand, proximity to the customers, and relative stability of the market, you know. And I think it's really good to see that, you know, just because of the sheer size of the market here, you know, it does make sense to do business here. And yeah, we can see that even German operations benefit from US growth, because again, the question is in Germany, like, hey, you know, in the media you read like, hey, German company is closing shop and moving investments over to the US. That's usually not the case. You know, we see the US as an expansion market. And now we ask the survey takers, on what is the effect of the of their growing U.S. business of those German companies, you know. And we see it's a positive effect on production, on R&D, and on employment in Germany. So, you know, it helps German headquarters if our German investments here in the U.S. grow. So I think it's a mind-blowing message that we have the data to support it.
Yeah, and I mean, this is part of our job, basically. So we see that it's the right decision to support companies coming here.
So regardless of which candidate may take office, a strong, vibrant economy is the goal for everybody.
Absolutely.
Everybody's a winner.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, what we see amongst our German companies and worldwide, every company workforce, right? So that's the number one obstacle, you know, and we just have to work, you know, make that happen either through our German apprenticeship system, where we create those long pipelines of skilled workers, or through, you know, like good retention models, good acquisition models, etc. So I think workforce, you know, 72% plan of the survey takers of that survey, they plan to increase their workforce this year, but also 91% say that it's not that easy. You know, they are struggling with getting workforce. So, hey, you know, immigration reform is something that our German companies would like to see.
So you don't want to get into politics too much, but it all matters. But whatever happens, we're all going to do our best.
Right.
Yeah. What are your hopes for the future of the German-American relations here, and especially here for the southern United States?
I think we have now really very good relations between Germany and the United States. And I would like to see them also in 5 years, at least as strong as they are now, but hopefully even stronger and even more on a people-to-people level. So really, we should get this exchange between students, between cities, between orchestras, between companies up to the next level. So I think this is the most important thing, getting people into contact again more, because I think it has died down a bit due to the pandemic. This would be my goal, more contacts.
I have a last question for you as well, Mike.
For me?
Yes, yes. We are organizing a little mixer at the Braves Stadium, May 15th, the Braves versus the Chicago Cubs as a chamber for our members. Are you going to be there?
Am I going to be there?
Yes.
I guess we'll have to talk about that. I'll have to take a look at my schedule. I'm sure I'll be there. I'd be happy to support you guys, of course. Melanie, for those that would like to find out more about the consulate here in Atlanta or have any questions or want to reach out to you, I assume there's a website that has so much information that would be very helpful.
We have our website, our consulate's website. So just Google German Consulate in Atlanta. But we're active on Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook as well.
Okay. And I see here on your business card, you've got a website of germany.info/Atlanta.
Right.
Well, Melanie, thank you very much for being the guest today on the GACC South Unplugged podcast series.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And Matthias, again, great job as usual, firing away the questions, and we'll see you hopefully in next month.
Thanks a lot to both of you. Thank you.
Again, thank you to all our listeners to the GACC South Unplugged, a transatlantic conversation with CEO Matthias Hoffman, brought to you by Kuba. We'll see you next time right here on Business Radio X.